Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hello everybody.
Hello.
Thank you very much for inviting me today. What I thought I'd do before I sort of tell you about the what my plans are for my cooking school is actually tell you a bit about my history, about my own condition, and about my passion for cooking. So, I was diagnosed when I was 9 years old with macular dystrophy, Stargardt's. So I had no central vision. It was quite a difficult time for me because at the time my nan just suffered a stroke and had taken the sight. So when the school made my parents aware that I couldn't see very well and I was taken to the local optician, he told them I was attention seeking and there was nothing wrong with me. So for quite a few years that was quite difficult, and then finally when I was at a senior school, they actually found out exactly what it was. It did take quite a long time to be diagnosed. I had always, from a really small girl, I'd loved cooking. And by the time I was 13, 14, I was cooking the Sunday lunch with my mum's help. I could manage everything apart from the gravy and the custard. She used to come and help me with that. But I just loved to take over the kitchen. And the thing that I wanted to do when I left school in 1977, oh my God, 30 years ago, I wanted to teach cookery. Unfortunately, at the time, in the education system as it was, there was no support for somebody beside us. So I knew I wouldn't get through university and went to a careers interview and was very pleasantly surprised when the careers lady, who was also our deputy headmistress, said to me, "Jo, have you thought about training to be a chef?" Well, of course, my vision then hadn't deteriorated. I was only classed partially sighted then. And I thought, well, actually, yeah, that might be quite a nice thing to do. So off I went. I applied to the Birmingham College of Food and Domestic Arts. And I originally applied to do a confectionery and baking course. Told them I couldn't see very well. I didn't seem to think that was going to be a problem. Mm. Went for the interview, got accepted. Okay. And then the day I went to enrol, much to my mum's disgust, I changed my course. Because the more I thought about the fact that I'm doing intricate icing work, I just thought I've got to think about the future, what I was going to be able to see in the future. And just thought, you know what, icing wedding cakes and doing all that close work really isn't going to be for me. So I changed to a general chef's course and left college in 1979. Since then, I have never been out of work. The parting words my chef gave me as I left college was, "Jo, when you go for an interview, don't tell them you can't see. Just say to them, let me cook for you.
That's right.
Offer to cook for them, and yeah. Once they can see what you can do and what you're capable of doing." It was the thing that I did, and there were no such thing as CVs then. So I used to bluff my way through the application form and get my dad to fill in sort of like a, you know, what I'd done and everything. And I got a couple of really fantastic jobs. I ran two directors' dining rooms, which were fantastic jobs in the 80s. And then got the opportunity to start my own business, an outside catering business, which eventually led in 1996 to me taking over a local golf club in Birmingham, Harlan Golf Club. And I was there for 6 years doing all their in-house catering. By then, my site had deteriorated and it was a 7-day-a-week operation. I was paying a bookkeeper to come and do all the stuff that I couldn't see. I knew nothing about the access to work scheme. Had I have known about that, I wouldn't have given my business up. But I came to a point where I just thought, I can't do this anymore, and decided to take an employed job and know exactly how much money was coming in every week, not have to work weekends. And that's when I went to RNIB to ask if they would help me. And I was very lucky to have a fantastic employment officer that, when I was offered a job at a local college, came into the college and really helped look at everything that I would need to be able to do my job. And she asked me if I would help RNIB and help them with a Work Matters campaign in 2004. And she said, oh, we can just be talking to a couple of groups of WI and people, might be a couple of radio interviews. Well, it ended up being far more than that. I did do local TV, I did do some local radio interviews, but I was asked to appear on BBC Two's Working Lunch to talk about employment opportunities for blind and partially sighted people. And I was also invited to cook on This Morning with Philip Schofield and Zen Fernring, which was live TV. Cooking on live TV was a little bit daunting, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. After that, RNIB came to me and said, will you come and work for us? And their thought then was outside catering. Well, outside catering, registered blind, driving the van around, delivering wasn't going to be an option. But in the basement of their John Bright Street building were four or five meeting rooms that were incredibly untidy and were only being used for in-house meetings. There was a domestic kitchen, and I suggested that we maybe started a small conference centre. And what the idea behind it was, I wanted an open plan kitchen, and I wanted to challenge the misconceptions of what blind and partially sighted people were able to do in the hospitality industry. We managed to get funding to take on blind and partially sighted trainees. Over 10 years, we had 32 paid trainees through our doors, either in the office or in the kitchen. All the kitchen staff had a visual impairment. In fact, we were all registered blind. I taught them all how to cook, and everything was made from scratch. So our delegates that came through the door had the shortbread that you had this morning, an arrival, or a homemade flapjack. Then they would have a two-course hot lunch and homemade cakes afterwards. I was told by somebody in the RNIB offices upstairs, about 3 weeks after I'd started, that somebody upstairs had said, oh, well, the only thing, that was Joe Miller then, the only thing Joe Miller's going to be doing in that kitchen is making toast and warming up frozen lasagna. I was heartbroken. And my best friend said to me, well, I'll tell you what, that bloke's going to have egg on his face, isn't he, when he sees what you can do? Well, eventually, it wasn't just in-house RNIB and Action for Blind People meetings. We opened it up and had a very profitable business. Our biggest customer was the Environment Agency. What better way to promote visual awareness than having outside agencies coming in and seeing what somebody with a visual impairment was actually able to do? I found that very powerful. I think I left Concept in June last year to move and have a new life in Devon. I think the one thing that I can say, looking back on those 10 years, was to watch people's journeys when they came into my kitchen and said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. And I said, do you know what? There's no such word as can't in this kitchen. We'll find a way around it. Everybody's eye condition is different. We will help you, we will support you and give you the confidence to be able to cook. My first trainee was a young Asian girl who had been very positive by her parents and wouldn't even go to the corner shop. After 3 months, she was going to the corner shop and taking a loaf of bread back, saying, "That's not fresh enough, that's not acceptable for us." And see her journey, to watch her go from a withdrawn, shy girl who didn't ever think she would achieve anything, to see the young girl that blossomed from that, and then eventually, after a mock interview with Marks and Spencer's, because we had an employment day and we invited people into movie trainees, took her on. She started working there in June 2007, and is still working.
Wow.
Doing what?
She started by, they thought they'd put her on the shop floor. She couldn't cope with that. And the customer cafe was too fast for her. So they put her in the staff canteen, which she was there for about 4 years. She now works in the customer cafe because her confidence grew. And now she just, like everybody else, works in the, you know, they may have made a small few adaptions, but Andy can cope with all of that. Another girl that came to me said she wouldn't be able to ever line, I won't be able to line a cake team. And I said to her, "Mary, if you want to make cakes, the first thing you have to be able to do is line a cake team." Now she makes all the shortbread, all the biscuits, all the cakes for concert, and she's absolutely fantastic. So I'm very proud of what we achieved. 2 years before I left Concept, I decided that what I would like to do is set up a cookery school and just work part-time at the conference centre. So we made adaptions to our kitchen at home, bought a fantastic state-of-the-art cooker, did all sorts of things to get this going, and then I was promoted at work and became manager, and just literally haven't got the time to do it, just the occasional weekend. I did have several customers that came and did cookery courses with me only on Saturdays, but I decided that when I retired to Devon, I would actually concentrate on opening a cookery school properly from home, which is what we're in the process of doing now. Lindsay supports me. I'm not going to ever say to or lie to any of you and say that I can do everything, because I can't. There are things that I can't see to do. When I chop an onion, I can't see the lines on the onion. I do it by feel. Obviously, I've had catering experience, you know, during my past, and I could see a lot better than I can now. So a lot of it is second nature to me. But, you know, there are things like sometimes setting the dials on the cooker that I would have to ask you to help me with. But generally, most things I can do. And I can certainly show people how to cook and find different ways around their sight loss for them to be able to cook. So that's really what I wanted to tell you about today. We've moved to a bungalow in Frogmore, so it's very accessible. I've got an open plan kitchen that has two ovens, six rings, but it's a halogen hob. So there's no gas, so I feel that that's quite a lot safer. So that's really me coming to talk to you today was about, really. I was invited by Joe a few weeks ago to do an interview with the iTalk, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I don't know whether any of you heard it.
Yeah, I heard it on.
Yeah, we had great fun. Joe came and we cooked lunch. Lizzie was there as well. And we made a risotto and we made a panettone bread and butter pudding. I think a little bit of wine was consumed. But it was great fun. And we did the interview as I cooked. I'm going to be doing more recipes for you for the iTalk. The next recipe that I'm going to be doing is the shortbread recipe that you've tried today, which is such an easy recipe. literally it's just your dry ingredients, and you heat the butter up in the microwave till it completely melts, throw it into your dry ingredients, mix it all up, press it into the tin, hey presto, in the oven. So easy. And a lot of my recipes are like that. I've adapted them to make them easy for everyone to do. So that's another one for you going forward, for you to look forward to. So Lindsay and I also came up with the idea of maybe doing, we wanted to find a way of promoting the business. So we thought maybe homemade marmalades, chutneys and jams that we can go out to. We've got to get the labelling right. We haven't got that quite at the moment. So. But a label that actually says that it's made by somebody with a visual impairment. Yeah. Hopefully, when we get round to doing to the stores that we're going to be doing, that's going to promote it to sighted people. Because I also teach sighted people to cook. But what I try and do is make my my courses for visually impaired people cheaper than I do for sighted people, because that's where my passion lies. My passion lies in giving something back. So, I don't know whether that was quite half an hour, but
we've got a few minutes for questions.
Did you remember when you were on this morning, what did you cook for this morning live on TV?
What did I cook for this morning? Yeah. Oh gosh, I cooked monkfish tails that I'd studied with garlic and rosemary. And done in a foil packet with creme fraiche and lemon and some vermouth, and you literally just make a little parcel with the foil and pop it in the oven.
You can actually hear the programme as you're cooking through the speakers. You can hear the rest of the programme, and then Philip said, right, let's go through to the kitchen. We're joined by our cook, by our chef who's visually impaired.
Pardon?
Did they actually say on this morning?
Yes, they did. They did say that. And the lady that... What you don't normally see on the This Morning programme is the chef that's actually on there doesn't do much of that cooking. There's a home economist in the background that does all the preparation and everything. And she actually said, you're the first chef that we've had on this programme that's actually insisted on doing all of her own prep. But then I did think I did some asparagus and some roasted vine tomatoes and then just a mash to go with it. But it was incredibly nerve-wracking, but it was a great experience. I really, really did love it. They were really kind to me.
The shortbread recipe that you said you'd get on VI Talk, where can we get that from?
Joe and I are just in the process of working out when we're going to do that one and record it. So it could be the next one that comes out. Where is Joe?
She's not here at the minute, but we can get the recordings to people, whether that be via email or in our newsletter on the group itself.
It will appear in several different ways. It appears on the main group, which is on Facebook. A link to that will appear on there. That's okay. And it'll also appear on another medium called Audio Boom. But also, if people will want it, you know, sending to them or accessing it in another way, then that can be made available too.
What, like CD or USB?
Yeah, well, have a chat with Jo. She'll be able to sort you.
Yeah, Jo's the IT wizard. I'm afraid I might be a wizard in the kitchen, but I'm not a wizard on the computer. Yeah. But you've also, Lindsay, you've got a lemon drizzle cake that you make in a saucepan.
Yes,
as
I have.
And I've got a fruit cake that we make again in a saucepan. Just to make things, you know, the measuring out easy, the cooking part easy. There's no reason why, you know, can't make some really nice
dishes. You want to make do a cookery book?
I know, do you know, I wanted to do that really when I worked for the charity, but they never ever really got around to doing it.
You ever thought about doing your own cook and just put it on Amazon or something?
Yeah, but because I'm not very IT minded, I'd probably need some help with that. Hopefully, Jo's going to sort of help me do things like that. So I'm going to teach her to cook and she's going to help me with my IT. That's the deal.
I mean, obviously, cooking and eating and nutrition with visually impaired people does go beyond cooking. It's also about sourcing foods and sort of shopping and all that sort of stuff. And for my part, in the last sort of few years, we've been sort of thinking for various reasons, particularly my weight, but for various reasons of not becoming vegan exactly, but sort of definitely veering towards a more vegetarian style of eating. Now, you sort of think, right, I'm going to look some things up. And there is absolutely nothing available, really, of current thinking. There's one girl, Ella Woodward, deliciously Ella, I don't know if you've come across her.
Magic.
She's actually, it's on Overdrive, it's a really good vegan cookbook. But for my part, I mean, Rob, my partner, does lots of nice cooking, but we go for chicken stir fries, chicken curries, that sort of thing. And I personally would like to cut back on my meat intake to 1 or 2 days a week. So it's a massive transition when you're used to doing things a certain way, isn't it?
Yes.
If you're sighted, it is, but when you're visually impaired, it's even massiver.
Yeah.
No, so for me, I would be interested in doing something like that, is actually sort of looking at actually a change of not just learning to cook, but a change of lifestyle approach.
It's funny you should say that, because I'm trying to lose weight at the moment, and I joined Slimmer's World in January, and I've lost 18 pounds. But I've completely changed how I cook. I've completely, cut quite a lot of fat out of my diet and a lot of carbs out of my diet, and but made really, nutritious food that's really tasty. And it's just sometimes just tweaking recipes, but actually being able to do that, and obviously I can do that, because I can go, I can replace that with something else. So certainly, once we help where that was concerned, I would be able to do that.
You know, it's things like using, quinoa, as they call it,
stuff like that.
She goes on and on and on about these recipes and how delicious they are. She changed her diet because she developed an autoimmune condition, so she became very ill. But she said she was a pizza and ice cream girl beforehand, so she wants to eat really tasty food. She doesn't want to eat yucky sort of veggie food. She wants to eat really good stuff. And I look at this stuff and I think, but I don't know how I can't change the way I'm thinking to how you do this sort of thing. So I think I'd be interested in doing something like that.
When you joined Slimmer's World, was there, and I guess this goes for any other kind of weight-loss groups, are they able to provide the information that you need, the books, the various...
Slimmer's World provide a large print book, but I have mine on audio. They also do it on audio, the whole thing on the CD.
That's really good to hear.
And to be honest, she even delivered them to the house to me. Lindsay came with me the first couple of weeks. I didn't want to go on my own. I certainly didn't want my husband there. Because he can lose weight just like that. I can't understand why I can't. So they gave us a book to go away with, didn't they? So that Lindsay got it to read it to me. But by the end of that week, I'd got it on audio.
That's very good.
I was very, very impressed with that.
Can I just say, the only other thing about being a vegetarian, I'm excited, is I'm vegetarian. I've raised my children as vegetarians. And a number of people just said to me about my daughter, and they said, well, all those carrots, and she still can't see in the dark.
I can imagine.
I'm kind of like, I just say, it's nothing to do with carrots.
So are you going to get recipes done in real form? When people have come, are you going to have real recipes?
I think we will be able to get some of those done in, or actually email them to people. So if you've got your computer, like I have, that's going to talk to you,
they'll, you know, that's also a good way of getting recipes through.
So is that easy to get to for the world?
Yeah, it's not. Yes, I mean, it's, you've got the 8, it depends where you go from, the 838, and you come off Top Ness.
Oh, well, we'll be driving, obviously.
Oh, well, there's also a train station at Top Ness.
Yeah.
And we can always sort of do some sort of collections to Top Ness from May. It's not too difficult.
It's probably, I think it's going to be up and running by about the 20th of May. That's moving house.
Yes.
And I've got one or two other things that I'm committed to before then. So I think it's going to be just after the spring bank holiday. So
can I ask, will it be like daily sessions or will it be a weekly session where you stay in a B&B nearby?
It can be either. The thing is, it's going to be bespoke. So it's going to be whatever the person that's coming wants. So it can be, a 3-day session, because we can provide local accommodation, or you can come for just one off. The people that came to me when I was in near Stratford upon Avon came for a course, but they came on a 1-day basis, so they might come once a month on a Saturday and do it like that. I suppose if you're coming from the, I had a lady ring me after we'd done the interview with Joe. I had a lady ring me, and she wants to come in June, but she wants to come and do 3 days, stay overnight and do three days with me. And if you're going to come a long way, then I suppose that's the most, it's what's practical and what works for the individual.
Yeah,
that's a start.
How much is a 3-day course?
It depends what you want to do and what you want to cook.
Do you have any contact details?
Yeah, now what I've done, I've got my old business cards, which have only got my old phone number, but what we've done is we've put a label on the back with the new phone number on, and also you can contact me through Joe. So if you need my contact details and you haven't got them, if you get in touch with Joe, then she can always pass them on to you, and then you can give me a phone. And we can sort of discuss things, from there.
Is it on a one-to-one basis?
I do it two or three different ways. It can be on a one-to-one basis. Right. You can couple it up, and two of you can come if you feel that's appropriate. One of the other things we do from a social aspect that worked quite well when we were in Norton was we had sort of half a dozen people that came, and I did a cookery demonstration, talked them through it, let them taste everything I was cooking. They get lunch, a glass of wine and everything, and then they got the chit chat of the day, a bit like we did, Jo.
Yeah, I can testify that Jo is a wonderful cook and the food was excellent and so was the wine.
But we had a really nice social,
didn't
we? A few hours.
And if anyone wants to listen to that, that is available through the VIT Facebook group, through the Sonata player and through the Audio Boom channel and Twitter. Or you can contact me for a copy if you'd like to listen to Jo's demonstration.
Yeah.
And she's going to be doing more demonstrations for us.
So, by all means, if you want to chat and you want to talk about, everybody's needs are going to be individual to them. Somebody might want to make soups and sauces, somebody might want to make cakes, somebody might want to do a bit of everything. I found when I was running them before we moved, people might want to come and do a starter, a main course and a sweet. But not everybody wants to do that. I might want to concentrate on one or two or so it really is what the individual does.
But I'll ask you a really silly question.
No questions.
How do you crack an egg without getting the shell in it?
How do you crack an egg?
Getting egg shell in it.
That's a good question.
Is there any ways around that?
Yeah.
I have to do the course,
Well, there are actually some special gizmos. Lakeland do one.
Yeah.
You put it over a cup, you put the little gizmo over the cup, and you break the egg into it.
And then it sips it out.
Yeah, and it sips it out. If you're separating it, that's what you want to do. That's the only
way,
Yeah. Or I do mine in my hand.
Yeah,
I do mine in my hand.
Let it go through your fingers.
Yeah. That takes confidence. And once you've got the confidence to do that, you'll think, oh, blimey, that's easy.
Or just
run
back for a sip.
I wouldn't mind doing it half an hour.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I hope that was interesting. I didn't go on too much. But it's been lovely to meet you all today. And thank you to the people that purchased our marmalade.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.